It is so good to be with you. I can't thank you enough for the opportunity to be with you this week. And as we begin this series of studies about being influencers and followers in the Lord's kingdom, in the world that we live in today, it's apropos that we begin this series of studies with this lesson, with those that have been such an influence and important aspect of my life as a child of God, with my wife as well, with our children. Indeed, as I have talked with brethren recently, I think it dawns on me more and more how blessed I am to have those who have been such a spiritual influence on me, again, on my wife, on my children, and to think about those who have helped encourage me and strengthen me, and to know that I'm with those who've had such a big part in my spiritual growth is such a pleasure. It's an honor. I'm humbled by the opportunity. For those, I believe most everybody knows that, Melissa and I were married in 1991. We moved up here in 1993 on the basis of the fact that while worshiping at Lassen Street, Mickey had come down and summer series, I think, came on a Wednesday night, if I remember right. And we came to find out that there was a good congregation up here, and we were kind of contemplating our next step. And having understood the nature of the congregation up here, we then moved up here in January of 93. And again, spent the next 27 years here. Our children were born here. Again, they've gone on their way and grown up, and again, we're so very thankful for the opportunities that we've had over those 27 years to be strengthened, edified by you, and to have your influence on myself and my wife and my children. Our relationships in Christ are so very special. Our relationships in Christ indeed change us forever. And we need those relationships desperately. We need to take advantage of our spiritual relationships. Let me suggest possibly to all of us more than we are presently doing. I think we need more of our spiritual influence among each other more than we have been. I think as we have come through the last couple of years, realize that just now and then is not enough. That for our own spiritual well-being, we need to find and make more opportunities to be together, to encourage each other, to strengthen each other, because the effects of this world will not end, and they have not, and he continues to wreak havoc in the spiritual lives of those who are Christians, to those who are not, and we need to be very careful. And again, I think that's a call for all of us to do more and to make more opportunities to be an influence for good. But as we begin this study this morning about being influencers and followers, we understand that our ability, as we talked in the Bible class, to affect change in this world depends on who it is that we're being influenced by. Who has our ear? Who are we listening to? Whenever I think about influencing and being and paying attention, the old commercial from the 70s about the investment firm E.F. Hutton come to mind, about the commercial, you remember, in the restaurant, and one person says to another, my broker is E.F. Hutton, and E.F. Hutton says, and everybody stops and carefully listens to what the person was about to say from their broker. But we need to have that level of dedication to who we listen to and who we follow. As we think about who it is that we're following, who are we listening to, who has the ability to direct and influence our lives, we need to think about who is influencing us. And to begin with, we live in a new world. I mean, things are different now. Those of us who are in this age of life, in our 50s and 60s, we've seen a lot of technological changes in our life. We grew up in an environment where the phone was attached to our wall. Now it's attached to our hip. We went from a world that we had to look up things by going to a library and reading encyclopedias, and now again it's readily available at our fingertips. We used to have to interact with each other by calling each other on the phone. But perhaps more importantly, we would go to visit each other. We would talk with each other. What a novel idea that we would sit and actually have face-to-face conversations with people. But we live in a world now where we call it media. We call it social media. Now gives us, if we can call it, opportunities to listen and follow other people, other causes, other movements, and thus other opportunities to be influenced. Do we realize the impact that, again, technology and media and social media are having on our lives and what we're being influenced by? You can do a lot of research. I did, and I decided not to put a lot of numbers up on the screen. But just in ballpark terms, do you realize that on average, and I hope that we're not the average, I hope we're bringing it down, but the average person spends 2 hours and 16 minutes a day on the internet, another 2 hours and 24 minutes on social media alone. TV usage, good news, maybe is going down. That's because we're spending more time on our phones, on our laptops, rather than on television. But still, it occupies, on average, more than 2 hours a day. You can do the math. You don't have to be the mathematician of the family, Mickey, to add those up and realize that a lot of time is being spent on the internet doing various things. Well, you say, I'm doing a lot of good things. I'm doing my banking. I'm doing a lot of transactions, things I used to do in person. And that's part of it. But we know that there is a lot of time being spent on things that are not important, things that are not perhaps beneficial, on social media, on the internet, and various things. When you add up all that time, statisticians have said now, from the age 16 to 70, based on the averages, do you realize that 5.7 years of the average person's life is going to be spent on social media and online entertainment and gaming? 5.7 years of your life. And on a yearly basis, that over 1 month of your year will be spent online if you're the average person. Brethren, media and social media and various forms of, again, online gaming and television and all the forms that are out there. Say, well, a lot of that's innocent in and of itself. We're going to talk about the fact that there's content that we need to be careful of, but even the time itself. We sang the song just a moment ago, being the world's Bible. And I believe it's the third verse, and you check this on me, that said, are we so busy in other things than His that we don't find the time to do the things that we need to do? Brethren, it's social media is like fire. It can do great things, but it can be very, very destructive in terms of the influence that it creates in our life and in the life of the people in the world that we live in. God and Satan, we need to realize this. Does God want to influence our life? Does He want us to be influenced by His Word? Yes, He does. Brethren, who else is wanting to influence us? Is not our adversary doing everything possible? And brethren, he doesn't take days off. Every day of his life, he is seeking to influence us, not for good. He's trying to discourage us. He's trying to divert our attention. He's trying to tempt us. He's trying to lead us away. And brethren, again, every day he's using the tools that are in the world we live in to try and lead us away, to try and point us to other people to follow rather than the Lord himself. And Satan will use the things of this world, anything within this world, to influence us and to lead us away. In Isaiah chapter 2, and in verse 6, as Isaiah wrote to a people who had been influenced by those around them and led them astray, We read in Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, "Come, house of Judah, let us walk in the light of the Lord, for you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners." Again, God warned them that if you let these influences remain among you and do not drive them out, that they will lead you astray. And God said, "You have abandoned your people. You've abandoned God's people because they are filled with the influences from the east or from the world that we live in." We know 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. That's why we know that verse. We understand it. It's simple to understand. But brethren, the application of it is so very difficult in terms of the diligence that we need to apply to it. But that's where John says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Brethren, there are people in love with the world. We talked this morning, somebody made reference to Demas, who loved this present world. There are a lot of things in this world to love. There are a lot of things in this world that are pleasurable. Moses himself, again, understood he had the pleasures of this world, but he forsook them, understanding they're passing. He said the pleasures of this world are passing away, and he longed for something that was eternal in nature. Brethren, who and what are you following? How do you spend your time? What has your attention? What are you thinking about? These are questions we've got to stop and think as we are bombarded with the messages of the world through social media. And again, there's two major concerns here. Number one, the content that's consumed. The content of social media, is it geared towards righteousness? Is it geared towards truth of the faith? Is it geared towards here's what's right and here's how you can live? No. Not the bad. If you go looking for, again, those who, and perhaps we need to learn how to influence through ways, and there are opportunities through using the tools and technology of today. But brethren, there is so much content that is geared towards the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what Satan is using these tools for. It is so easy, and people get addicted to social media and the things on the internet because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But it's not just, again, the social media, the content that's consumed. As I said, I'm concerned about the fact that there is so much time. The time spent on social media is such a concern. It's so very troubling to know that the average person, if you add it all up, is spending upwards of 7 hours a day being influenced by these things. Will we? Do we think about the opportunity cost? You say, well, I'm not looking at anything sinful. I'm not looking at the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. I'm playing games. I'm doing stuff. It's not wrong in and of itself. But brethren, it's taking an opportunity away from us to do something that's useful and beneficial. As we think about being influencers and followers, a passage that I want us to keep in mind that apply to so many things is Ephesians chapter 5. As Paul talks to the brethren in Ephesus about how we need to walk and how we need to live our lives. You ever heard the expression, the devil's in the details? The details of how we spend our time. Notice beginning, let's go back up to verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness." Oh yeah, we shouldn't be doing those things that are wrong. He goes on from there, he says, "But instead even expose them." Again, there's the influence that is needed. "For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake sleeper." Brethren, are we asleep? Are we alert to what's going on around us? He says, "And arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Notice verse 15. "Therefore be careful how you walk." Again, that idea of walk, it means circumspectly every part of your life. Be careful how you spend your life, not as unwise men, But as wise, verse 16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Brethren, it's about how we spend our time. Because the days are evil, Satan is about using our time in ways that will not draw us nearer to God, but in using our time in ways that will detract us from God. But even if he can't lead us directly away from God through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, if he can keep us away from doing what we know to be right. Because while I'm just surfing the internet looking at whatever it is my hobby is, whatever my interest is, and say, well, it's not wrong, but I've just spent 2-3 hours, and I do that day in and day out, but I don't spend the time studying and meditating on God's word, on praying, on being an influence to others, encouraging and strengthening one another. Again, the days are evil, even when we don't do something that is inherently wrong. We've got to think about the opportunity cost of the influence of the world upon us. And we've got to choose. We've got to make a choice between the world and between God. James chapter 4 talks about the fact that we cannot be friends with the world and be in fellowship with God. He talks about the fact that to do so is to be an adulteress. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And then he goes on to talk about the fact in verse 6 that God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I like to talk about the fact that in the Bible we read a verse such as verse 8. And perhaps we know how to quote verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I like to ask the question, how do you do that? Let's say you get up tomorrow morning and you remember James 4:8. That's in my mind now. Draw near to God. So Monday morning you get up and say, I'm going to draw near to God. What are you going to do? How are you going to do that? Are you going to spend time with the Word of God? Are you going to be praying unto God? I've asked the same question about Galatians chapter 6. We talk about the walking according to the flesh or walking according to the Spirit. I think about Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 8, for the one who sows according to the flesh for from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. He said, get up tomorrow morning and say, I remember what we talked about yesterday, and I remember the need. I've got to sow to the Spirit. Boy, Paul said that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, you've got to sow to the Spirit. What am I going to do? How do I do that? How do I sow to the Spirit? How do I, again, draw near to God? How do I do these things? Brethren, it's tied up in how we spend our time and how we are affected and influenced by the world or whether we're influenced by God. We've got to make that choice about how we spend our time. We've got to understand there are things that we've got to eliminate and things that we need to include. And there's a number of verses there. We talked about Numbers 33:55 this morning in Bible class. They talked about the fact that if you don't get rid of the influences in the world around you, you say, well, I can't drive everybody out of the world that I live in that's a bad influence, but we can control it. We can make sure that we can control the influences in the world. And if there's something in our hearts and minds that doesn't belong there, we need to drive it out, drive it out completely. We need to get rid of that in our lives. We need to understand that we've got to have a heart that's turned unto God. We need examples in the world. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 17 through 20 talk about the fact that we've got to look to each other. As we look to Christ, and Paul himself said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. We need to know the example of Christ, but we needed to influence each other. And that's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. And in verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk of whom I often told you, now tell you weeping, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. There are those who will turn away from the faith. But he said, we need example. Join in following my example. Observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Again, how do you do that? Doesn't that require brethren to spend time with brethren to follow the example of one another? And if there's one of you that I need to have the example of, 1 hour on Sunday is not enough. I need more of an example. I need more time together with my brethren. We need to find those opportunities to influence and to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Talk about the fact that we need to encourage and lift up one another to build each other up, admonish them really, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. That takes time. Again, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, we talked about in Bible class this morning, the fact that we need to encourage one another day by day. Anybody know and understand what is the concept of a board of directors, a corporation? You know, they've got the CEO. And the CEO has what is called a board of directors. But what do those people do for that CEO, for that president of that corporation to have this board of directors? What are they there for? Well, they're there to influence the leadership. They are there to provide guidance, to provide insight, to provide perspective. Again, to influence that corporation and the leadership in a proper direction. I heard somebody many years ago talk about the fact that he said, I have my own board of directors. And I said, well, what does that mean? He goes, there are those people in my life that I look to that I know will be a positive influence on me, that will help me with the decisions and choices I make, that will help urge me on and admonish and correct me and turn me back when I get off course. Brethren, we need those people in our lives. I need you to provide that insight to help encourage me. As Paul himself said, imitate me as I am of Christ. I understand my focus is on Jesus Christ. My focus is on attaining to the stature of the one who has saved me from my sins. But brethren, I need you. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're reminded of the fact that King Rehoboam, when he needed to make an important decision, did he have a good board of directors, as it were, to guide him, to give him good perspective, and to remind him of God's ways? No, he had those who directed him in a wrong path, in a worldly perspective, to say, show him who's boss. And that chapter is a fascinating, but you know that context. You know that he did not have good influences in his life and that you and I need those positive influences. Who are you following? Who's the influence in your life? Will you choose to follow the Lord fully? All of us are here because we want to follow the Lord, but in Matthew chapter 16, and the context of this is so very interesting. In Matthew 16, perhaps you know that it says there in verse 24 that Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What's interesting is that this is on the heels after Peter had been praised by the Lord for saying that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, after being asked, who do you say that I am? And Jesus had then told Peter, upon this rock, upon your confession, I will build my church. Peter got that right, and I'm sure perhaps he felt pretty good about himself. I know who you are, and the Lord has praised me. And then Jesus, then beginning in verse 21, began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're setting your mind on the things of man and not on the things of God. You need to get behind me. You need to follow me. You need to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, and follow me fully. In Luke chapter 9 and verses 57 through 62, there were some who said, Lord, I do want to follow you. Verse 57, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, do you understand what that means? Do you understand that following me fully means that your life may not be the easiest? That to follow me fully means that I don't even have a place to lay my head. It may mean that you have to make sacrifices in this life if you're going to follow me fully. Another said to him, follow me. After Jesus had told him, follow me, he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. There's something that comes before you, Lord. Jesus said, nothing can come before me. But I need you to follow me and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And finally, verse 61, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. And we know verse 62, that Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We've got to follow him fully. We've got to make that choice, and we make it again day by day. So, well, I made that choice 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, to follow the Lord. See, I made that choice. It's a choice we have to make every day. Again, that's another one of what I call a Monday morning choice. It's a Tuesday morning choice. You get up each day and say, am I going to follow the Lord today? I can't rely upon the fact that I said that I was going to follow him 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever the case may be. I've got to nourish myself every day upon the Word of God, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. And I need to assess in my life, and as I ask the question, who am I following? Well, I'm following the Lord. Is there anything distracting me, diverting my attention? You know, as Mickey and I talked, as we have all talked over the past couple of years, a lot of distractions in the world. There have been a lot of distractions over the last couple of years. A lot of distractions from following the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We've got to lay aside the sin and every encumbrance, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. What's getting in the way? What's distracting us? What's taking our focus away from God? One interesting point, we're going to talk about the influence of family. Hopefully our family influences us for good. Hopefully our wives, our husbands, our children, our parents. Hopefully everybody within our families are encouraging us to do what's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the brethren in Corinth had questions about marriage. We're not going to talk about the whole context. But in many ways, to me, verse 35 is the whole point of 1 Corinthians 7. The whole point about our relationship with one another are subservient to our relationship with God. And he says in verse 35 of 1 Corinthians 7, this I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. Paul says, here's what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is doing what's right. He says, promote what is appropriate. In our marriages, in our families, in our homes, we need to do what's right. But here's the goal, to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. Who are you following? Are your affections set on the things above? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Or are there things distracting you in this life? Again, the social media, the news on the television, the entertainment, the gaming we like to do, our hobbies, our crafts, the things that take up our time. Is there something distracting you from following the Lord? And we're either actively following him. That is, it's something we do every day. It's something we decide when we get up in the morning. We're following the Lord. We're either actively following or we're opposing him. There is no, I'm neutral ground. We read from Philippians chapter 3 a moment ago about Paul's urging that we follow again, examples around us. Observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. But again, verse 18, as I read, he said, "For many I walk, for many walk of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." We're either helping people, we're either encouraging people, or we're making it harder through our influence to serve the Lord, as Paul talked about those who set their mind on earthly things. What choice have we made? And I pray that by your choice of being here this morning, you've made the choice to follow the Lord. But again, I'm concerned about tomorrow. I'm concerned about Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, and every day that God grants us the breath of life. Who are you following? What are we exposing our hearts and minds to? That's what we're talking about in terms of the social media and the television, the entertainment. Brethren, we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful about what we're exposing our minds and hearts to. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." To me, I said, what are you thinking about? What's coming into your hearts and minds? Watch over your heart. What are the inputs into your hearts and minds that are causing you to think about the things that perhaps are not right and not appropriate? And we've got to ask ourselves, what are we doing? Romans chapter 13, in verses 13 and 14, Paul talking to the brethren in Rome about getting real, about being careful. In verse 11, he again uses the example of awakening from sleep. Don't be fooled by the fact that there are influences around us. Awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. The night is almost gone. The day is nearer. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. There in Florida, I make the application of this verse to say, if you know that you're going to a place where people are going to be immodestly dressed, and there are places that we know that people are going to be immodestly dressed, don't go there. But apply that to, again, social media and the internet and entertainment. Are there places to go online that we know are not a positive influence, that make the lust of the flesh? And the lust of the flesh may be the things of this life. It's that new whatever that I don't have yet. Say, that's not evil in and of itself, but it's tempting me to lust after the things I don't have. And we need to be careful and understand that we're not immune to that. I've heard brethren say, well, it doesn't bother me. It causes us shivers. It doesn't bother us. The things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, it doesn't bother us. We become numb to the temptations and influences of the world. We need to be understanding that we can't follow the man. We know that. We tell our children that we can't follow the masses in doing evil, Exodus 23 and verse 2. We make the point from Matthew 7, 13 and 14 that we've got to be on that narrow road. The majority are going to be on the wide road. But brethren, we can't be deceived. God is not mocked. We cannot expose ourselves to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life and think that it's not going to influence us. Do not be deceived in terms of those who are your influences. And the whole aspect, and I've learned this over the last few years, the point of 1 Corinthians 15:33. And again, I heard my parents say that, you heard your parents say that, evil companions corrupt good morals, you know, those bad friends of yours. The whole context of 1 Corinthians 15 is about the resurrection. And that there are those who say the resurrection won't ever take place. And then the verses that lead up to verse 33, if we're hanging around with, and our biggest influences are those who say there is no resurrection. If there is no resurrection, then what do we do with our lives? whatever we want. There is no accountability. There is no responsibility to God. If there is no resurrection, then we can eat, drink, and be merry. But if there is a resurrection from the dead, we are accountable to God. Don't be deceived that those who don't believe in the judgment of God won't influence us for evil. And those evil companions, again, we can't walk with them, we can't stand with them, we can't sit with them. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We've got to separate ourselves from them. And in Psalms 1 and verse 2, we're reminded that the successful individual is going to be the individual whose heart and mind meditates on the Word of God. And again, we emphasize this in the Bible class. And in His law, he meditates. And we emphasize the words day and night. Every day of our lives is to be a day of influence by the Word of God. So, brethren, we've got to get real. Jeremiah chapter 17 and in verse 9, we need to remind ourselves that, again, we can't be deceived and think that the world isn't influencing me. Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Brethren, we need to understand the temptation and influences of the world are real. And we need to take them seriously. I need to remind myself, I can't put myself in harm's way. I need to understand the influences around me and turn away from them and seek my time with you and with my brethren, of those of like precious faith. And we need to understand that the effects of the worldly influences are long-standing, they are deadly. And the effects of worldly influences may say, well, I'm still a member of the Lord's Church, my name's still on the membership. The effects may be that we're still part of the church, but the influences that caused us not to bear any fruit. There's nothing productive spiritually from our lives. Matthew chapter 13 talks about the thorny soil. And it talks about the fact that the effect is that we won't bear fruit. I preached recently from Isaiah chapter 5 about how that God told his people, I've done everything for you so that you might bear fruit. And he used it in the example of a vineyard. He says, I built the walls. I did everything possible to enable you to bear fruit. And he said, when I expected to find fruit, he said, I didn't find any. And that was because of the influences around them. And it causes us to spend our time on other things. As I said, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 are going to be verses we're going to reference throughout this week. Brethren, we've got to be careful about who's influencing us, because if we're not careful about that, we're not then considering how we influence. It is our responsibility then to bear fruit, and we're going to influence one way or the other, for better or for worse, through our conduct, our very presence or lack thereof. You know, I've heard the expression, the greatest factor of success is simply being there. We can't influence when we're not among our brethren. When we know that there's an opportunity to assemble with the saints, and we're arguing about Sunday night and Wednesday night and Tuesday morning and every other opportunity, and say, do I have to? We've missed the point. The idea of influence is our very presence or lack thereof is telling other people it's not that important. By not showing up, and when we assemble again tonight and the rest of the week, and we choose not to be there, isn't our presence, our lack of presence, not saying something to our brethren that we don't deem it that important? 1 Peter chapter 2, in verses 11 and 12, even the world is watching our conduct. It's watching what we do. It's watching what and hearing what we say. And for that reason, Peter said, you need to be careful about your conduct. Pay attention to what you're doing. I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. We're being observed, and we need to be impressed with our conduct, be impressed with our speech and what we say, and that, brethren, we're not going to be the influence we need to be simply by not doing things that are wrong. And things that are wrong, we need to be a good example by not doing those things. But there's the aspect of there are words that the world needs to hear. And unless I share the gospel, the influence I need to be is going to be limited. It's not going to be what it ought to be. And I have up there 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. Do you remember that context about the four lepers who were outside the city? And they went to the camp of the Arameans. God had caused them to flee. And they came upon the camp and everything. Everybody else inside the city was starving to death. The four lepers were starving to death. They came upon the camp and they found everything they needed, everything that the Israelites inside the city needed. And they took what they needed. And then they stopped and as they were eating, they said, we're not doing right. Because this is a day of good news. And if we don't tell somebody about this, that the evil will come upon us. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. The things that have been entrusted to us, we need to teach faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We've got to influence through our speech. And not just by saying witty things and funny things. By speaking and teaching the Word of God. And as we talked about this morning, how do we influence? We influence by our endurance, by our persistence. In difficult times, will people see in us the fact that we're not quitting? The pandemic is raging, but we're still serving God. The times are difficult, the economy is in tatters, but we're still serving God. We're not worried about the things of this life. Do people see in us that even when we are reviled and rebuked, that we don't turn away from what we know to be right? In James chapter 1, in verses 3 and 4, you know that's where James says, beginning of verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The Thessalonians were praised for their example, their influence in enduring difficult times. And brethren, we're going to influence others and to encourage others by continuing on even when it gets difficult. Who's following your example? Well, first of all, we can't hide in our cave. And has that not been happening with post-pandemic life or during the pandemic that we just want to hole up in our cave? It's difficult. And we just want to hide ourselves from the world because it's evil out there and a lot of wickedness and sin. So we're just going to shut ourselves in. Brethren, we've got to understand, as God told Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, there's work to do. It's about time we rolled up our sleeves and got to work and influenced the world that we live in. As we think about our influence, who's following your influence? Again, we're all examples in one form or another for good. We're going to talk on Monday about being salt and light from Matthew chapter 5. Paul told Timothy to be an example of good deeds in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 12. He reminds him that let no one look down on your usefulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. You need to be an influence for good or for bad, as we read from Philippians chapter 3 and verses 18 and 19. Are you encouraging or discouraging greater faithfulness through your actions, through your presence, through your teaching? We're either making it easier or harder for others to follow the Lord. And we need to ask ourselves, are you laying stumbling blocks or are you laying a stepping stone? Are you making it more difficult or are you making it easier for others to serve the Lord? And we need to realize We're going to talk about this throughout the week. Our example at home is powerful. As parents, we think, well, it's the old do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't work. Our example is powerful at home. What about at work? When you go to work, are you the same person you are today? Are you standing for what's right? What about your influence in society when you're doing things in public, in your recreation, your hobbies, just in the grocery store? Are you standing for what's right? Again, what's your influence here in the assembly? Are you building each other up? Are you trying to encourage and strengthen? Are you there to provide the encouragement and to study together and to lift each other up? What kind of example are you providing to your brethren? There's an individual, if you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and in verse 10, as we bring this lesson to a close, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10, 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10, there's an individual named Jabez. We know little about Jabez, really, other than this and the verse that precedes it. But I wanted to point you to verse 10, which it says, "Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me.' And God granted him what he requested." Think about what Jabez prayed for. Jabez says, "Lord, will you bless me? For what purpose?" He says, "So I can enlarge my border." What does that mean? I believe it simply means I want to be a greater influence in my family, in the church, in the world that I live in. Enlarge my border so I can talk to people, so I can reach people, so I can lift people up, so that I won't be a stumbling block. We know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 6 and 7, how that we need to understand our ability to influence. We need to pray about that. We need to ask God, help me have the opportunities to influence others. We think about what Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "I planted, Apollos watered, God was causing the growth." Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, "Give me an open door so that the word of God might be proclaimed." Paul simply wanted the borders of the kingdom expanded. Have you heard people pray for that? Have you heard people pray that the borders of the kingdom would be expanded? What does that take? It takes influence. It takes us speaking the words of the Lord, speaking the gospel to other people, what they need to hear, because our influence will last a long, long time, generations to come, possibly forever. You ever think about the fact that your influence, if it's not what it ought to be, might cost someone their soul? And that, for all eternity, your influence, for good or bad, may have the effect, it may be the otherwise, through your influence, you might help lead someone to have the forgiveness of sin, to become part of the body of Christ because you influenced him for good, that they might spend eternity with God. Is there any better way to influence somebody than to bring them to the Lord? As we offer the invitation this morning, I realize, and I speak to myself in all these words, I can't undo the past. And to the extent that I have failed to provide the influence I need to, I can't undo that. I can pray and ask my brethren to pray with me for me, that I might be forgiven for failing to be what I ought to be. I can't fix the past, but I can resolve today going forward, I'm going to make my life different. But I need the forgiveness of God for that which I have failed to do in the past. I can be forgiven. I can be resolved to be an influence for good going forward, forgetting what lies behind, pressing forward to what lies ahead. If you're here this morning, you need to ask yourself, what is your choice today? Will you choose to be a follower of Jesus Christ and Him alone? That there is no greater influence for good than your obedience to the gospel. There's no greater way to influence the people who are here, those who are in your life, than rendering your obedience to the gospel. If you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, repenting of your past sins, because you're willing to confess your faith in Jesus Christ, won't you do that now? If perhaps you also are a member of the body of Christ, but realize that your influence has been compromised, and that going forward you want that to change, and you want your brethren to pray with you and for you, won't you make that known as we stand together and sing?